just get right to it. Why don't we all just pray together? Please pray with me. Lord, I thank you for the word that you have for us today. And God, I declare that your anointing is here in this place. God, I speak right now to the hearts of your sons and daughters. God, hearts that are on fire for you, God. Hearts that are seeking you, but especially hearts that may have become hardened towards you. God, hearts that through seasons and trials have become callous towards you. I declare that the anointing is here to break through any hardness of heart. Each of us are here in the sanctuary or listening to the podcast by choice and by our free will. God, we are here because we want to encounter the living God. Lord, we want to be captivated by the God of wonders. Lord, we are here because we need you. So Holy Spirit, come and have your way. God, speak to us today, Lord. Do what only you can do. We consecrate this time to you. And in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So as you may have been able to glean from my prayer, oh my goodness, I'm already getting emotional, but it's all good. I think that's a good sign that God is in this place. Today I'm going to be preaching about hardened hearts. Hardened hearts. And if you're taking notes, the title of this sermon is The Hardened Heart, The Hardened Heart. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, in this season, God is releasing many blessings upon our church community. So we prayed before that Pastor Marcus, finally, after years and years of prayers, getting married. God is good. Amen. Amen. And not only that, Sister Sarah has shared about beautiful baby Shiloh, who is at this point, she's 5 months old. And she is the gorgeous daughter of our lead pastors, Pastors Christian and Aaron. And this is something that we have been praying into for a long time as well. And these are just two examples of some of the many blessings that God is pouring out in the season. But as I was talking with the Lord and as I was asking him what word he wanted to release to the New Philadelphia community and to Eton in particular, he was highlighting the heart. And he was sort of nudging me to the fact that even in the midst of all these prayers being answered, and even in the midst of the celebration, there are some of us who have allowed our hearts to grow hard. And I know for me, I myself am guilty of this as well, which is why I felt so strongly moved to preach this message and to share this revelation with you all today. And for me, I have witnessed firsthand God's faithfulness to this community. Pastor Marcus mentioned that I've been around for a really long time, and it's very true. I came out to Korea in 2006, in fall of 2006, and shortly thereafter, I started coming out to New Philadelphia Church. So that's a really, really long time, right? And but Holy Spirit was really impressing upon my heart to share my journey with you today, and more importantly, share God's truth revealed through my journey, because ultimately the Christian walk is an adventure. Amen? The Christian walk is an adventure. God takes us from glory to ever-increasing glory. The God that we worship, he is one of immense passion and love and justice and mercy and grace. So therefore, if we have been created in God's image, it is not right for our hearts to ever be hard. Right? It's not right for our hearts to ever be void of passion or to ever feel stagnant in any way. Right? So for those of you in the sanctuary or tuning in through podcasts, if in this season, if you have been feeling hard of heart, I just want you to be encouraged and know that we worship Jehovah Perazim. And this is the God of the breakthrough. Okay, this is the Lord who breaks through all hardness, all barriers, anything that stands in our way, he breaks through them for our goodness, right? And he is going to break through today for you. Okay, so let's just go straight into it. Like I said, the title of this sermon is The Hardened Heart. And in this message, I'll be discussing three ways that we can deal with a hardened heart. Okay, and to overcome to a place of restoration and wholeness in the Lord. So the very first way to deal with a hardened heart, or sermon point number one is, you know, how to deal with a hardened heart is to be real before the Lord. To be real. Be honest before the Lord. And from experience, I know that hearts can become hardened through all sorts of factors. The most common being hardship. Hardship can cause hardness of heart, right? And hardship can make the heart grow hard. And if you look up in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, why don't we open up to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 8. Hebrews 3, 7 to 8. And I'll just read it out for y'all. And it warns, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. Okay, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. This verse is alluding to when God brought the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and he was leading them through the wilderness of the desert and on their way to the promised land. So a little bit of historical context. The Israelites, they have been in slavery for 400 years in Egypt. Okay, this was a harsh oppression. It was a harsh slavery. They were calling out to God for deliverance, and God said, I am faithful to my people. I shall deliver you. Right? But who knows that if your people have been in slavery for 400 years, aka many, many, many generations, you can't just switch into a freed man's mentality overnight. Right? So it is for this reason that God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, but he had to bring them through the wilderness. He had to bring them through the desert so that they could realize and really put to death their old ways, put to death their old mentality, and realize that we are free. We are now a liberated people to walk into their identity as a chosen people of God. Okay? But in the midst of this, let's be real. Let's be real before the Lord. I know that, for example, if I were an Israelite, if I heard these stories growing up of 400 years of slavery and oppression under the Egyptians, and all of a sudden God in his mighty deliverance, he shows all these miraculous signs to Pharaoh, let my people go, let my people go. I'm going to throw frogs and gnats and all these things. Let my people go. I am here. I am with them. Let my people go. Finally, Pharaoh releases the Israelites, and the Israelites are wandering in the desert. But if I had been an Israelite during this time, to be honest, I think I would have had a little bit of hardness of heart towards the Lord. Because, yeah, on one hand, I have been taught that my people have been chosen by the Lord. But if my people have been chosen by the Lord, why have we been suffering for so long? Why 400 years of oppression? Why 400 years of slavery? And after that, once we're finally released from slavery and oppression, why the 40 years in the wilderness? Why can't we go straight into the promised land? Right? 40 years of eating manna, 40 years of not having a stable home. Like for me personally, I'm a big homebody. I love just chilling at home with my friends and watching movies and like reading books. My roommate, Pastor Jasmine, she'll testify that I'm the ultimate homebody. But then can you imagine for 40 years, like, an entire lifetime for some people, just not having a home, every day packing up, moving, never having, you know, a secure supply of food in the refrigerator, not having the same bed to fall asleep in, always on the move. In the midst of all of this, if I were an Israelite, my heart would have been a little bit hardened towards the Lord. You know, I'll be completely honest. But at the end of the day, we have to honor the Israelites because in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the hardship, they didn't abandon the mission of going into the promised land. Okay, they didn't abandon the mission. But we have to realize that if you read through a lot of the Old Testament accounts of the Israelites, even though many did not abandon the mission, many of their hearts had checked out. They were there in body. They were amongst the mass going through the desert and the wilderness. Their bodies were there, but their hearts were not there. Their hearts had become hardened. Okay? And then likewise for us, our hearts, just like the Israelites, our hearts can become hardened through hardship as well. Okay? So during days of testing in the wilderness, our hearts can grow callous. For me, my own heart very recently became very hardened through hardship. So, as was mentioned, as a part of my glorious introduction, I am the missions director of New Philadelphia Church. And earlier this year, for our 2015 mission season, I had the honor and privilege of being able to be used by God to train up 128 short-term missionaries to be sent out into the mission field. 128 people. Out of a church of roughly 500, that means we sent out about 25% of our congregation into the mission field. 128 people across 13 teams. And now that the season is over, right, now that all the teams have safely returned, we have all the testimonies and the photos and the videos, I can testify that that season was ordained by the Lord. Okay, I can testify that everything ended on a glorious note. I can testify that all the challenges were worth it. It was more than worth it. You know, but to be honest, as the missions director, as I was walking through that season, to be honest, I experienced it sort of as hardship. I experienced it as hardship. For a little bit of perspective, it was my 7th straight year of directing the missions ministry, pretty much sort of on my own. You know, I have never been able to experience a Sabbath season because when all of the other active leaders of the house are able to experience their Sabbath season, or this is a season where we don't actively meet up week by week with community groups, but instead the active leaders have time to sort of refresh and build up their reserves. Usually the Sabbath season is when missions are the most active at our church, you know? So for many various reasons, I allowed my heart to get a little bit bitter and frustrated towards the Lord. Okay? I allowed my heart to get a little bit bitter and frustrated towards the Lord. I allowed myself to get a little bit bitter and frustrated towards my leaders and even those I was leading. You know, it wasn't a very pretty picture. And I realized that in the midst of this, I allowed my heart to compartmentalize, to divide up, to have a divided heart. Okay, I was worshiping God on Sundays, but when it came to work, when it was work time, I was resenting him on Mondays. Okay? I was telling God to his face that I would suffer for the gospel. God, use me, send me, use me for your glory to expand your kingdom. But then deep in my heart, I was resenting him for the fact that he was making me go through hardship. So in this way, I was having this division in my heart. But remember, what did I mention at the very beginning of all of this? What's the number one step in terms of dealing with a hardened heart? You have to be real before the Lord, right? Hardship can lead to a hardened heart. But in the midst of this, something that is so important is that we have to be real before the Lord. Be honest before the Lord as to where your heart is, what you're feeling, okay? So let's all turn to Ezekiel chapter 11 together, chapter 11, verse 19. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. And then once you find it, why don't we all read it out together in one voice from the English Standard Version? Did everyone find it? It's that Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. Ready, go. And I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Amen. So this is the verse according to the English Standard Version. But for me personally, I prefer the New International Version. And I'll read this version out to you. It says, I will give them an undivided heart. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I'll remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. So what is the first step towards dealing with a hardened heart? It's to be real before the Lord. And what does it mean to be real before the Lord? What does this mean on a deeper level? It means to have an undivided heart. Undivided heart. Okay? So in the midst of hardship, in the midst of our hearts hardening, it is so important to be honest and to keep it real before the Lord. In many aspects of our lives, in many aspects of the Christian life, it can be grievously easy to fake the funk, so to speak. Okay, so you could be having a horrible week. You could have grievously sinned. You could have insulted everyone who crossed your path. But maybe the way that you're living your life this past week would never demonstrate the fact that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But it's grievously easy to come into the house of the Lord and sing a little bit louder, you know, raise our hands up a little bit higher, right? It's sometimes grievously easy to live sort of this divided life and to have this divided heart. And even like what I said, even while I was in the midst of leading all these 128 short-term missionaries, I myself had a divided heart. You know, I said, God, I love you and I worship you. I want to be used by you. But now that God was actually using me, now that I was having to actually put feet to my faith, I was resenting him and I was like struggling with bitterness within my heart, right? But ultimately, when we find ourselves in that place of faking the walk, faking the faith, faking the love for the Lord, we have to realize that it does kill us a little bit on the inside, because that's what was happening to me. And for any of us here in this place or listening who have been through such a season, you know that having a divided heart slowly kills you on the inside. It slowly kills you on the inside. Okay? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we may be fooling ourselves, right? We may be fooling our neighbors around us, but we're not fooling the Lord. Right? You can fake your actions, but you can't fake your heart. Right? You can fake your actions, but you can't fake your heart. God is sovereign. He's all-knowing. He knows our thought patterns. He knows the depths of our emotions. Right? So even venturing into that path of putting up a front before the Lord, trying to be fake before the Lord, is a dangerous path to pursue. And if you ever find yourself in the midst of hardship, if you ever find yourself with your heart starting to harden before the Lord and starting to compartmentalize your heart, I would encourage you to please be real before God. Right? Be real before the Lord. And what does this look like? For me personally, it meant acknowledging before God that I was actually angry at God. Oh my gosh. You know, I can admit to being angry towards the Lord. I mean, to some people it can seem very grievous or even heretical. How dare I be angry at the Lord? Or how dare I, meek little me? And to a certain extent, it is true. It is true to a certain extent, but at the same time, what did I mention just before? God is omniscient. He is sovereign. He already knows what's going on in my heart. He already knows what I'm thinking. So by sort of confessing before the Lord that I'm angry at him or I have bitterness towards him, this is just me being honest with the Lord and not hiding away that part of my heart. Okay? So ultimately, when it comes to dealing, the first step towards dealing with the hardened heart, we have to be very real with the Lord. Right? Don't compartmentalize your heart. Don't be afraid to be honest with the Lord. Right? Be true to your emotions, but instead of dwelling on these emotions, just call out these emotions and nail them to the cross. Right? Be honest with the Lord. Be honest with the Lord. So that was point one of dealing with a hardened heart, be real before the Lord. Point two, right? What's a deeper way that we as God's children can sort of deal with a hardened heart? And for me, number two, a lesson that I learned while I was just sort of coming out of the season of having had a hardened heart is remembering who I am. Right? So point two, remember who you are. Remember who you are. If you're struggling with a hardened heart, number one, be real before the Lord, be honest with him. But number two, remember who you are. Okay? So I'm going to read out to you from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 19. I'll just read it out to you. And this portion, I guess sort of the subtitle is A Rest for the People of God. And starting with verse 7, it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Verse 12, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God." Verse 13, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And verse 14, "For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." So I'm going to read verse 14 one more time. "For we have come to share in Christ. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." So this last verse that I just read is quite key here. Because I've noticed that something that makes a hardened heart before the Lord so burdensome is the fact that it wasn't always so hard. Okay, so in my example, I think Pastor Marcus had mentioned that he had mentioned our experience going on the India missions trip for the first time, and I saw the glory of God fall. In my own eyes, I've seen miracles and healings and wonders and signs and wonders. But when I found my heart getting hard, and when I found myself in a season of hardship, it became so burdensome because I knew that this wasn't who I was. Right? This wasn't who God created me to be. This wasn't my nature. Right? This wasn't my nature. This wasn't my truth. But for some reason, I was struggling with this emotion deep inside. Right? But in the midst of this, it is so important to remind ourselves of who we are, the truth of who we are in the Lord. Okay? So I'm just going to give sort of a biological example. So I just have a question for the congregation here. Have you ever had a loved one or, you know, a close friend or family member struggle with any heart problems, like physical, biological heart problems? Anyone? Yes. Okay. Bold mouth. Very good. Thanks. Okay. So there is like a plethora. There are so many different ways that people can suffer from heart problems. You can have heart attacks. You can have clogged arteries, this, that, and the other. But there's actually a biological condition of your heart muscle actually hardening. Right? So I was talking about how our heart, like our emotions before the Lord, they can become hard, right? Our hearts can sort of become numb and hard before the Lord. But this can also actually happen biologically to your heart. Your heart is a muscle, and your muscle can become abnormally hard in your body. Okay? So what happens when your heart becomes abnormally hard in your body, it's called, I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly, it's called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, okay? So this is a condition in which your heart muscle, it becomes thick. Your heart becomes thick, and often only one part of the heart is thicker than all the other parts, and the thickening can make it harder for the blood to leave the heart. Where your heart becomes thick, and it becomes hard for blood to leave the heart, and it forces the heart to actually work harder to pump blood, okay? And it can also make it harder for the heart to relax and to fill with blood. And I feel if you were to sort of study this on a deeper level, it's quite prophetic, right? So this is what happens to your actual biological heart when it gets hard. But when you think about your emotions, your heart, right, when it gets hard, it becomes harder for it to do what it was created to do. It's harder for it to sort of pump life, blood, oxygen, right? That's what happens to the heart when it becomes hardened biologically. It cannot pump life throughout your body. And likewise, when your emotions become hard towards the Lord, right, when your emotions become numb, it becomes hard for you to pump life, right? It becomes hard for you to walk out in the fullness of life. Okay, and not only that, some people with this condition, it's HCM, some people with this condition, they may have no symptoms. Right? And sometimes they may first find out that they have this condition during a routine medical exam. But in fact, for many young adults, the first symptom of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is actually sudden collapse or possible death. It's only once you dramatically collapse or actually even possibly die that you realize that you have been suffering from this hardness of heart. Okay? And some common symptoms of this hardness of heart biologically include chest pain, dizziness, fainting, fatigue, lightheadedness, sensation of feeling the heartbeat, palpitations, right, shortness of breath, all these other things. So basically the reason why I'm bringing up this example to you is that even biologically, if your heart starts to become hard, it's very obvious, right? If you're a young person and your heart becomes hard, you might collapse. That's very obvious. I'm a normal person going about my normal day and I collapse. Something is wrong with me, right? Or I'm a normal person going about my normal day and I die. That's very abnormal, right? I'm sorry, I didn't mean that to be a humorous point, but it's true, right? If your heart is hard, you experience dizziness. You experience fainting, right? Fatigue, like these are all things that are very noticeable and tangible. You realize, oh wait, I'm feeling a little bit faint. I have a headache. Something is wrong with me, right? So biologically, physically, when our hearts become hard, it's so obvious that something is wrong. But why is it that when emotionally our hearts become hard, we don't have that same response, right? Why is it that emotionally, when we find our hearts becoming so hardened towards the Lord, or even hardened towards people that we love, why is it that we're able to so easily compartmentalize that, right? I'd share that even a moment ago, right? My heart, I was going through hardship. This hardship made my heart hard. Man, it's like a tongue twister, right? This hardship made my heart hard, But in the midst of this, right, I just compartmentalized it. I said, no, you know, this is a hardship, but I'm like, God, I'm going to worship you on Sundays, but I'm going to still have this resentment because of this hardship on Mondays, right? It's so easy for us to make this division on an emotional level when on a physical level, this would be completely impossible, right? And the reason why I even bring up this example is that ultimately, when we experience this hardness of heart, right, we have to realize who we are in the midst of this. This is not us. God did not create us to have a hard heart. God did not create us to be numb to emotion, right? And if there's ever a season where you feel like you are sort of struggling with a hardness of heart, one word of advice or one word of encouragement is sort of to intentionally remind yourself of who you are. Okay, what is my true identity? Who am I really in the Lord? So for me, when I was struggling with this hardness of heart recently, I made it a point to look through my old journal entries that I wrote down from when I was on fire for the Lord, right? I was crazy. So back in the day, I was one of the church plant members of New Philadelphia, Itaewon. So in 2010, a group of 10 of us, we were the church plant team. We started worshiping. The community started to grow and grow and grow. And now in 2015, we have the beautiful New Philadelphia, Itaewon community that you see around you today. But back in the day, back in 2010, when I was completely on fire for the Lord, I was crazy. Like, I was crazy in love with Itaewon. And I was obsessed with the idea of God bringing his revival here. Okay, so I remember, how many of you took the subway to Itaewon today? Okay, so you all know Paris Baguette, right? There, I think you might be familiar. I think, what is it, exit 1? Right, exit 1, there's a Paris Baguette at the Itaewon intersection. So what I would do is that whenever friends wanted to hang out, I would intentionally tell them to meet me at Itaewon. Even if it wasn't a very convenient location for us, I'd say, hey, let's meet in Itaewon. And if we were supposed to meet at 6:30, I'd intentionally arrive at 6 p.m., okay? So for those of you who know me well, I'm not the most time-oriented of people. I'm late all the time, okay? But for some reason, God gave me this grace to get to Itaewon Station 30 minutes early, and I'd have these cards in my pocket, these cards that gave the address to New Philadelphia, Itaewon. So what I would do is I would just wait in front of Paris Baguette at Itaewon Station, and I'd ask God to highlight people so I could give them a card and invite them to church. Like, this was normal for me, and this is what brought me life. Like, I loved it. Right? And this is just one example of how sort of abnormal to some people, abnormal my behavior was back in the day. So I found myself, when I was sort of struggling with this hardship more recently, in the midst of overseeing all these missions teams, like, I knew, like, don't get me wrong, I knew that it was an honor and privilege to serve the Lord in this way. I knew that, like, seeds of revival were being sown. I knew that we'd see miracles in the field, because we always see miracles, we always see infirmities being healed in Jesus' name. I knew that ultimately it would all be worth it. Don't get me wrong, right? I knew it was going to be good, but when I was in the midst of it, it was really hard, right? And it was in the midst of this hardship that I allowed my heart to become hard. But during this time, I would search out, like, the journal entries I would write in the past of how excited I was for Itaewon, how badly I wanted to see revival break forth in this part of the city, right? I'll go back to my inbox, my sent box, and I remember, and I'd read through some of the emails that I had sent in previous seasons of leading missions teams, right? Every single email would be peppered with all these Bible verses, right? And, like, declarations for revival in every single country, for every single people group, and all these dramatic things. And as I was in that weird tension of feeling my heart grow cold, but knowing that it wasn't me, I made it a point to remind myself of who I truly was. Right, Lisa, remember who you are. This is not you. The season that you're in right now, this hardship that you're struggling with right now, this is not you. Right? This hardness of heart, this compartmentalization of heart, this is not you. Right? Remember who you are. Remember who you are, okay? And there's actually a really famous quote that I heard at a conference in Korea, I think a few years ago. It's by Pastor Min Chung. And he said, if there was ever a time when you love Jesus more than you do today, that means you need revival, okay? And that's a word that really pierced my heart. And then in the midst of, I guess, the hardness of heart struggle that I was experiencing, I was asking myself, and I was asking the Lord, what was one season when I really loved you more than I do today, Right? I was asking very specifically, what were those seasons where I was so on fire for you? What were those seasons where I would do anything to see your kingdom come here on this earth? Right? And as God was reminding me of these seasons, I was declaring that truth over myself. Lisa, you are not one who has a hard heart. Lisa, you are one who cries out for revival. Lisa, you are a bold woman. Lisa, you are one who cares for those who are far away from the Lord. Right, so in this way, I was reminding myself of the truth to confront the lie that the enemy was trying to entrench me in my heart. Okay? And of course, I was sharing all these stories of what I did back in the church plant days. But at the end of the day, not everyone was on a church plant team. You know, let's be real. Maybe some of you in this room, maybe your walk with the Lord is quite new. Okay? Maybe some of you, you're still exploring. That's completely okay. But that doesn't mean you have to miss out on this process. Right? So for me, on an individual level, I was able to remind myself of who I was back in the day. I was able to remind myself of my history with the Lord. But for you, if you are joining us here and your walk with the Lord is still relatively new, if you feel like you don't have that history with the Lord, just remind yourself of the community that God has called you to here. Okay, just remind yourself of this New Philadelphia Itaewon community, right? This is a community that was established with so much love, right? This is a strong community. If these are words that are not resonating with your heart, I encourage you to come to sort of get plugged in and sign up for a community group, and you'll be able to taste and see for yourself how much God has blessed this community, okay? So if you don't have that personal history with the Lord, just graft yourself in to the inheritance of this community. Okay, so New Philadelphia Itaewon, we started as a very, very humble church plant, meeting in King Bar, which is between Homo Hill and Hooker Hill, right on the main intersection of Itaewon. Okay, we started as a humble group of 10 people meeting at a bar, and look around, look at how much God has blessed this community. Right, back in the day, we had to rent a bar for 2 hours, meaning every afternoon when we came in, we had to spray down the place. You had to wipe down all the surfaces, right? It was very unpleasant. And even after the service, we had to wrap up everything and unplug everything very quickly because the evening customers were going to come in for their evening drinks, right? But here, now God has blessed us with their own sanctuary. God has blessed us with way more than 10 people worshiping Him. God has blessed us with the leadership, with the praise team, with instruments. There are so many ways in which God has been faithful to the Itaewon community. Right? So if you feel as if you don't have your own history with the Lord, number one, that's not true. But number two, if you want to see a tangible sign of God's faithfulness, just look around. Right? This is what you have access to by joining our community. Okay? So like I said, if you find yourself struggling with the hardness of heart in the midst of hardship, one way to deal with it is to be real with the Lord. Number two, remember who you are. But number three, most importantly, remember who God is. Okay? Remember who God is. Because I will reread to you from Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. It says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Okay? So if you were to sort of study this verse a little bit more carefully, we realize that every verb that we read in this sentence, every action word, is something that is initiated by God. I will give them an undivided heart. So God gives us an undivided heart. Okay? I will put a new spirit in them. God is the one who is initiating. He puts a new spirit in us. I will remove from them their heart of stone. So God removes a heart of stone, and He is the one who gives us a heart of flesh. In all of these examples, God is the one who is initiating. He's the one doing all the action, and we are the ones who are receiving. Okay? But in the midst of all of this, right, in the midst of any hardship that some people may be confronting in this season, right, we have to really make it a point to remember who this God is that we're worshiping, right? So in Ezekiel 11, it's God who's initiating. He's the one who's giving us the undivided heart. He's the one who's taking out from us the heart of stone and replacing it with the heart of flesh. But if we take it one step further, right, He is the Genesis 1 creator God. Right, He is the Genesis 1 creator God. He is a King of kings. He's a Lord of lords. And in other faiths, people, they worship a faraway, distant, powerful being. Right? And in the midst of their devotion, in the midst of their worship, sometimes they don't even receive that assurance of salvation. But for us who worship Yahweh, for us who worship the God of the heavens, we worship a God who initiates relationship with his people. He's not a distant, far-off God, right? He's a God who wants to have relationship with his people. And because he wants to have relationship with his people, he sent down his son, Jesus Christ, right? He sent down his son, Jesus Christ, to be an atonement for our sins, right? To be the living sacrifice for our sins so that us, even though we are sinful by nature, we're able to have that relationship with God. Okay? And I think for me personally, one application, one way of applying point three of remembering who God is was I had to remind myself of how I had witnessed God moving in the nations and in the mission field. Okay? So sometimes when we're in the midst of hardship, it's so easy for us to focus on just what we see around us, right? But sometimes it's especially during those times that God is calling us to take a step back and to really be reminded of who he is and what his true nature is. Okay? So even as I was leading the missions ministry and as I was struggling with this hardness of heart, there would be times where I said, Lisa, what's wrong with you? Why are you feeling this way and why are you thinking these things? You've seen God pour out his power and his glory in so many countries. You've been to villages where people don't even have the option of going to hospitals and your own supply of medicine that you brought with the team has already run out, right? But in the midst of this, you've seen God intervene and heal people miraculously in Jesus' name in a way that is beyond reason or logic, right? And I had to keep on reminding myself of all these miracles, of all these ways I was able to witness God's power in my own life, right? But what I want to do right now, sort of as I wrap up, I want to read out from a passage that really ministered to me as I was in a season of hardship and hardness of heart before the Lord. So if I can invite up the praise team at this time, I'm going to be reading to you out of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So right now, I'd like everyone just close your notebooks, close your Bibles, and just close your eyes as well. And as I read out the scripture to you, I want you to allow this word to really speak to your heart and to wash over you. Okay? It comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'll be reading verses 8 through 24 from the NIV, from the New International Version. Okay? And you know, sometimes when we find our hearts getting hard before the Lord, number one, we have to remember to be real before the Lord. We have to remember who we are. We have to remember who God is. But ultimately, it's point three that is the most important. Right? Really reestablishing ourselves, really realigning ourselves to the truth of who God is in our lives, right? So I'll be reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 through 24. So just receive this in your hearts right now. It says, "Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Israel, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you, I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake, he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the peoples. I'll read 23 and 24 once more. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the peoples.